Jotunheim, the heart of the network of the gods, miles of bone, sinew, and synapse. It's time to tear it all down. Ragnarok is coming, and it's you.
All right, are we ready to rendezvous?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, I'm ready to break out of jail.
Let's do it.
So, I like the idea of recreation time. Does that work for everybody?
Yes. Yeah. So is that like, would that be like us in a kind of exercise yard, or would we be in the lunch hall?
Yeah. So I was going to say, I think that in the Panopticon, we don't get the luxury of open air exercise quarters, right? Like, I don't think it's that kind of place. I think it's more like a massive gymnasium with some really janky system, like non-networked holographic projector type things, right? So on one hand, if you are boxing, you can have a virtual sparring partner.
Oh, okay.
A holodeck.
Sort of, but it just projects one boxer, right, that you then fight against, and it's like a rig that like moves around, but it's flickery, and like the buffers on it aren't great, so if you get hit by the projection, you really get hit.
Oh, so no safety, I see.
Pretty much, yeah. So it's all kinds of stuff like that. And imagine, oh, let's say 2 football fields or 1 soccer pitch worth of like space. So 100 yards by 100 yards, basically 100 meters by 100 meters square is this one room that we're in. And this is one of like dozens of spaces like this in the Panopticon, but this is the one that we're all in.
Mm-hmm.
So where does this moment find each of us? Just real briefly, let's just start with not DJ, because DJ said they don't like to go first. Let's go with Ashkali Eisenflay. Where are you?
So something I'm kind of thinking I want to be a thing for my character is that their age is nondescript. So she can either seem older or younger, just depending on what serves the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that would be part of the runes or what, but that's kind of her thing.
Vagueness is more pliable into truth.
Yes, exactly. So she would be not doing anything too athletic, probably standing in a corner watching others and sticking to herself for the most part.
Seems like that would be a good gathering place for all of us, sort of out of the way of things. I'll ask you then, what's like the high sign that you give to try and get all of our various attentions?
Maybe I would draw something. I don't know what the flooring in this area would be. I could, if it's not dirt since we're inside, but,
mm-hmm.
Or perhaps I would interact with a AI object.
Oh, what if there's like it's a broken tennis court, right? Where it's half of a tennis court and the net is just up against the wall, and you serve the ball into just like a slot that's like right above the net. And there's supposed to be a virtual projection on the other side where the hologram like acts like it's a tennis thing. And then just a tennis machine inside in the slot just spits the ball back out, yes, at you to mimic the hologram, but it hasn't worked in a long time. And your signal is that you're going to get it to spit one tennis ball.
Oh, that's a good, yes. I could use a rune in order to get it to actually work once.
Yeah, because since all of the systems are down, the anti-magic like fields are really stressed.
I was thinking that that's pretty cool, because normally it just, since it's broken, when it's supposed to fire it out, it just kind of dribbles and rolls, mm-hmm, out. So by you fixing it to where it fires out, that's very noticeable.
I actually worked somewhere that had one of those, but it was a hockey version, and it usually broke. It would work once or twice, and then it would not work anymore. I'm like, sorry, the middle one's not working today.
Oh. All right. One of the cool things about Iron Edge Reforged is that I worked with a friend of mine who is a runic scholar and magic practitioner, who we made our own runes for Iron Edge Reforged.
Oh, wow. I just opened the document. These are so cool.
Because I wanted to avoid all of the white supremacist appropriation of the traditional Elder Futhark runes. So these are their own runes with their own descriptions. If you are a real world practitioner, they are actually bind runes, so you can use these for actual divination, putting together spells and whatnot. But all of them have meanings, and to do runic magic, anyone in the setting can do runic magic. You just have to inscribe the rune properly and put the right intent behind it. Your particular clan, the Raven clan, this Raven set of abilities is designed to do runic magic, to let everyone who's listening know, because I don't think we've had a Raven on air yet. So that's the kind of thing that being a Raven, you can just do. So when the time's right, you're not going to need to make like a check or anything. But I wanted you to have proper runes available to you so you yes. could know which one you're etching.
So I would, for that, I would use travel, I think, because the ball would be traveling from one point to another. So I'd use a travel rune.
I like it.
Or departure, even. It's departing from.
Would that be Golru?
Yes, Golru.
Yes, the rune of Golru. And that's actually a really innocuous, inconspicuous rune because it's just three straight lines. Like you can just get that etched real quick and, you know, the guards aren't going to notice right now. Fantastic. Cool. Marnie, where are you and what are you doing?
I don't know exactly. So my initial thought is that Marnie is looking around for somebody to prank. Just whatever that sort of looks like. So I am picturing somebody leaning back and just looking around with like a grin that anybody seeing it would be able to easily identify.
Like a kind of shit-eating grin.
Yeah, I would say it's a grin of the shit-eating variety.
Yes.
Nice.
Just thinking about the fun things that one could do in this moment is...
It seems like maybe pranking a guard to cause a distraction somewhere away from where we're going to meet up would yes. be pretty choice.
Oh, yes. 1,000%.
Okay.
I'm presuming it's not a completely packed space, but there are definitely a lot of... Like, there are a few people there.
There are a decent number of people in sort of the rec area, and a lot of the guards here are the new ones, right? So they're a lot less experienced, and the few veterans who are here are the ones who don't give a shit.
Yes.
Because this is just routine maintenance. So I think that... If it's all right with you, we'll circle back and your prank will be what kicks off all of us sort of moving. Like when the tennis ball fires, your prank is what distracts people enough that we can all gather together without too much of an issue. And if you check out the story tracker, you'll notice I put an X in the first box for rendezvous because the tennis ball idea is inspired, Melissa.
1,000%.
So you have marked a box. We're halfway, like we know sort of what the thing is now.
Okay. So that's kind of like a way to track progress towards the goal.
Mm-hmm. You've got it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I love it.
You're welcome. Elif Orison, where are you and what are you doing?
All right. Elif is probably sitting off, kind of isolated from pretty much everyone. He's kind of just hunched over a book and he has like a little, not even like a real pencil. It's more like a piece of charcoal that he's kind of whittled the end of it to be able to write with. And so he's just sitting here making notes and he's just kind of like scribbling furiously in this pad. And if the camera pans over him, you'll see that on one page, he has like a little schematic drawn. Then on the next page, he has detailed notes and then binary and then a couple runes written down. And like he keeps going through it. And every time he flips a page, you see another part of a schematic drawn with the same thing on the side. So essentially what he's doing is when it started to go down for maintenance, he was able to, he couldn't do it long because, you know, it actually requires focus and him sitting and actually like going into the network and exploring, but he can get little snapshots, mm-hmm. just briefly connecting to get a little snapshot. So he's going over different scenarios about how to break out of this place. And he's like, all right, if we're in this room, then there's an exit here. There's danger here. There's something, you know, we could use a plan B here, this, that. And in his notes, he gives a real like general description, just as loose of a description as possible in actual wording, and then the binary underneath ties to it but gives a little more detail, and then it's all part of like a cipher. So the first part is like, this room has doors and the doors lead to places. But then underneath it in the binary, it's like, main room enters this room, three doors on this side, one door on this side. And then underneath in the runes, it gives like a brief, since you can't really like formulate sentences with the runes, they give a little more detail. Mm-hmm. So any piece by itself is not really informative, but everything together, reading it with the schematic, it's a detailed plan laid out there. Because he's definitely on board with escaping, because he does not want to be locked up in here. Being in the physical world is taxing and just lacks a majority of the joy in his life. He doesn't really get that spark unless he's interface with technology. So he's ready to be the hell out of here.
Go ahead on your character there for gear number two. Put down that cipher book. That seems like that's a pretty clutch piece of gear there. And narratively, it makes sense that you've been able to build that up. So I don't think it's going to cross a control point or anything. Venquista, where are you?
I think that I am just doing my normal kind of recreation simulation, which for me would be, I'm doing something completely innocuous. I'm just sitting around watching anime. Although, while that is happening, I will probably just be kind of holding the Omni Key in my hand, and could I be trying to kind of absentmindedly carve a rune into it? I would probably pick the Inno rune, if that is possible.
Yeah, you definitely can. I think, what's your goal with doing that?
My goal with doing that is to enhance its usefulness in case we need it for later for escape purposes, because that one is the information communication openness thing. So right now, mechanically, it will open a bunch of doors. But I think that perhaps if we need it for more sophisticated things, say that something happens and they get everything back up online before we get the chance to escape, I'm thinking that maybe if I can put a little bit of magic into it, that might be useful. But I'm doing it in such a way that it just looks like I'm fidgeting. And so if anyone kind of walked by me, they would just be like, oh, like, look at this nerd. Like, they're not a threat. Just watching anime. Like, haha. Like,
that reads to me, and everyone, you can chime in and see what you think. That reads to me like a risky action that might involve dice.
Ooh.
I mean, okay. So what you're doing is you're watching the anime, but kind of like to the side, kind of trying to etch this in. Or are you just sitting there with it, watching the anime, etching it?
I'm sitting there with it watching the anime, but like, yeah. You know.
I think personally the danger is not necessarily being caught. There's a lot of stuff going on, and there's, like I said, a lot of new guards right now. Mm. I think the danger is damaging the Omni Key.
Okay.
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah.
Does that, because you're trying to take a piece that is pure tech, and granted, all tech has a little bit of giant in it, so there's some magic going on, which is why you can even do it, but like, you risk overloading it, you risk shorting it out. Does that read okay to everybody?
Like if you're etching it and you hit one of the wires,
yeah,
you hit a wire, it could short it out. Yeah, I would say that also, you kind of, you know, I don't think you'll just be like, let me do this in front of the guards, because somebody is missing an Omni Key.
And they know what that is, yeah.
So I think it's like you're doing it to where you can see it. But then every time, like, a guard comes by, you're just, you know, fidgeting your hands and, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. So what detail are you going to use for that?
Can I use my fair detail that is eyes on the prize at all times? Because I'm thinking about escape. I'm thinking about utility. I'm trying to maximize what we have already. I know to look out for this signal. I know there's going to be a commotion very shortly. I want to be, you know, to show up to this kind of rendezvous having done the work.
Yeah, totally. This reads to me as either difficulty 2 or 3. What does everyone else think?
I guess if you're actually, like, since it's in front of your face and you're not kind of doing it to the side secretively.
I mean, I do need to look at it to do it. So unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, 2 or 3 works, because it comes to a point where you have to focus on it, but then you also, like, you're not completely focused on it because you need to make sure, like, nobody's watching, like, oh, what are you doing with that Omni Key?
I need to make it look kind of absent-minded, even though I legit need to concentrate on the rune. So yeah, it's kind of is risky. I get it.
I think two works okay. for this. So you need to roll five dice and you need two successes. So two fives or sixes.
Okay, let's see. Please.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I got a bunch.
Oh, you got four successes.
Yeah. Wow.
Fantastic. Yes. Okay, so there are bonuses for extra successes.
Amazing. We love to see it.
Yeah, so please, your goal was for it to be sort of like a stopgap, right? Like if the network suddenly comes up, you could then slot this into a terminal and give yourself like a back door.
Yes, essentially. Because our whole plan is kind of predicated on everything being manual. But in case they somehow do a really good job, then I would like to have another kind of a plan B kind of thing.
Cool. What else did you get? You etched it so well. You've got that locked. The Omni key. Now I'm going to put in your gear. I'm just going to put /1-time network back door. What else can it do?
I think it could maybe perchance this. So this rune was the one for information, communication, openness. Perhaps if we were able mm-hmm. to steal another one, it might be able to send a message to whoever is holding the other one. Would that work?
Yes. That's fantastic.
Yeah. In case we have to split up or something happens, we'd love to be able to send a signal to another key if we could get a hand on it.
Oh, actually, I think not even having to get another key, I think what you've discovered is that it actually has a function, like a high-level admin function, where it can dupe itself.
Oh.
And so you can split the key once, and the parent side of it retains all the regular functionality, and the child side of it can get a one-time burst message, and then it disintegrates.
Okay, amazing. Cool. So I could use this for all sorts of things.
Very cool.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a choice.
Yeah, I have some ideas. So yeah, thank you very much. That's great. Love it.
Fantastic. So y'all are doing all of that. And while that's happening, Hull is kind of the only one who seems to really be using the rec area as a rec area, but definitely not using it as intended because they're a horse. They do parkour, right? So like they know what they do can be really annoying. So in line with their gender, they're trying to be kind of like refreshing to people. So all they're doing is jumping around all the broken equipment, right? So there's shit that never works that people are just leaning against. So like they'll use it as a pommel horse and like jump off and they're just like running around the entire room. But what I'm getting while doing that is sort of a bird's eye view. Like I'm getting a holistic take on the entire space. And I think as I am making my way toward that corner where Ashkali is hanging out, I think I let you know just discreetly, like through a hand signal or something, that all of the guards are sufficiently distracted that we can set off the signal and get this ready to go.
Yeah.
So I give you the high sign. You can hit the tennis ball. Marnie can do the prank, whatever the prank is going to be. And that prank is going to let all of us converge and leave this room.
Mm-hmm.
Sound good?
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Okay. So I can't, with all the crowd around, I can't think of any reason why it would be risky for me to give the high sign. So I just do it. And Ashkali, your rune goes off. So what does it look like when the tennis machine works for the first time in 3 years?
I mean, maybe they haven't changed the balls in there for a while, so it might be a complete wreck when it comes out. It kind of bursts into a disgusting display of mold.
Ew. That's so funny. I love it.
A mold mm-hmm. confetti cannon?
Yes. I've seen an orange do that, and it was not pleasant.
Oh, oh, that is disgusting. Oh, and I live.
Yes, so that goes off. Marnie, what's your prank? What guard are you tricking instead of treating?
All right. So okay. I don't know why apparently my brain woke up and chose violence today, but it did. So,
cuz we in prison, that's why.
They chose violence first.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just going to roll with it. So I found the one who looks the weakest. Like the weakest link of the ones, of the newbies, of the new ones.
Okay, quick, jump to the character pool.
Yes.
This person is named
Jimmy.
Yeah. Jimmy.
Yeah. Jimmy Five Fingers.
Okay.
Yeah. Blurb is a hapless new guard. Details. Who's got a detail for Jimmy Five Fingers?
Probably a bootlicker looking to advance in the prison system or something.
Bootlicker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's another one?
Clumsy.
Clumsy. And?
Easily spooked.
There we go. That's Jimmy Five Fingers.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
So Jimmy Five Fingers, we have gotten to know Jimmy Five Fingers a little bit because these new guards, they had a couple shift rotations before the maintenance. Like the entire bureaucracy isn't so ham-handed that they just brought in newbies right away, right? There's a little bit of training. But this fucking guy, right? He is obviously he's a mark, he is a target, and I cannot wait to see what Marnie is cooked up for Jimmy Five Fingers.
Okay, so I'm going to walk over to the exploded orange of a tennis ball. And oh boy. Oh no, unhinged. It's getting worse in my brain as the seconds go on, and I love it. So from the pocket of this presumably we're all in the same uniform, kind of, right? A little?
Yeah.
Very prison chic.
Yeah, they're just dishwater gray jumpsuits.
Fabulous.
My color.
So from the pocket of this jumpsuit, I'm going to pull like about 3 matches mm-hmm. out of there and sort of hide them amongst what appears to be the wreckage of said tennis ball.
Okay.
And I'm going to be still holding one in the pocket. They'll come up in a second. So I'm going to bring this up to our lovely Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, I just feel like I should probably report this to somebody. There were matches in here, which seems like real sus.
Anyone want to play Jimmy? Sebastian, take it.
Okay. Oh no. Matches, you say? That's a...
Yeah.
That's a safety violation. I should find someone to report this right away. Thanks for reporting it to me.
Yes, you should probably take them. Like physically take them.
Yeah, you're right. Safety hazard. Can't have that. Jimmy's totally gonna take them, like a fool.
And while, like, in the taking of them, there's gonna be a fun little bit of sleight of hand here. So, like, at the placement of said matches, mm-hmm. as well as the ball, they're with the ball that has mold on it.
Mm-hmm.
This is important. This is quite key. Uh-huh. I promise. Oh, God. So Marnie's going to just close her hands around Jimmy's hands and be like, you know, thank you. You are doing an amazing job. Like, you are killing it. It is your first day.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. You are killing it, honey. You are doing such a good job. Now, I think you're going to have a good, long, lengthy career in this particular thing. And while that's happening, Marnie is lighting a match mm-hmm. in her fingers.
Right.
Now, because of the sort of distracting nature of the conversation, as well as the just... the distracting nature of the conversation and the intense eye contact that Marnie is making, it's not really going to super notice until after the fire has started the moldy hands.
Yeah, but I think that the second that you stop talking, I think that Jimmy is probably going to notice this and be like, ah, oh shit, and probably drop it because Jimmy, as we said, is very clumsy and easily spooked. So... Is that your intent? This is the chaos.
1,000%.
Oh, and Jimmy's gonna be like, oh no, I caused this. I'm gonna be fired. Literally.
So the end of the talking was for sure after the, like, after the match has, like, during the, you are gonna have a lengthy, long career. Like, it happened during that mm-hmm. lengthy, long snap career. During this whole thing, and you are going to move up so far in this organization, fire.
I think we've got a little bit of narrative-based risk going on here. I want to see a roll at one difficulty. just a one. Mm-hmm. You've set everything up to be great. I even think that your excellent detail is perfectly applicable here. So,
all right.
In theory, this is trivial.
But there is the risk that something could go wrong. I don't know. I get what you mean.
Right.
Okay. Exciting. Let's see what this roll is.
Okay. All right. So I'm just, I'm trying to remember what the excellent detail. Okay. Fabulous.
The beauty and joy and chaos.
So you get like 10d6 for this. You should be fine.
Oh, fabulous.
It's quite chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 successes on 10d6.
Wow.
Cool. You have your absolute way with this schmuck. So, with this thing on fire, right? And like, it's not a little bit on fire. As Ashkali described, it is dry mold.
Deeply flammable.
It's disgusting.
Yes.
But it's like a little flare fireball, like if straw dust in a barn caught, right?
Oh, geez.
So The fate of poor Jimmy Five Fingers is in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to suggest he can either run away screaming or you can light his ass on fire.
Oh, for sure, I wanted to light him on fire.
Done.
The thing that it feels like he would probably do, and this is the weird bit of calculus that my brain did when it woke up and chose violence, apparently, which is, oh, so he is on fire, and he's probably run over to another person, be like, "Help! I'm on fire."
Yes.
To another guard, most likely, thereby causing a distraction.
I think What happened was Jimmy dropped it. It caught like his trouser leg or something, and then spread very rapidly. And he is fully on fire. He's screaming and is like, "Oh,
ooh, polyester was a bad choice."
What two pieces of guard-related kit do you pull off of Jimmy as he runs away?
I will pull. Do they have like just an average key card? Like,
yes,
not. Not like as useful as the other one, but just an average key card. So like if an identification thingy is actually needed, we have a fall guy.
Yes. And those they're not, because the network is down right now. That's part of the contingent. So there are localized databases of acceptable key cards that are programmed into every door.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do have a general access key card easily. It doesn't have access to everything because he's a temp, but it could be useful to some degree. So you have a key card. What else do you get from him?
I think,
Ooh, can I make a suggestion?
Yes, please.
You get his radio.
Ooh, okay, perfect. Yes, 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 please.
Because now we can have ears on.
Yeah,
right?
We can listen to where the guards are going and we can avoid them.
Exactly. Yes. So,
or cause distractions.
Yes, Jimmy Five Fingers gets lit on fire. He is running around screaming.
Yeah.
Guards converge. I honestly think, given the success of that and the conflagration involved, I'm pretty sure there's a riot in the rec yard.
Probably.
Yeah.
Also because a bunch of other people probably see this and are thinking the same thing. They're like, oh, okay, cool, excuse to take down the guards. Like, you know.
Exactly.
Everyone starts a fight.
Mm-hmm.
So that all happens. We meet up in the corner, checked off the box on rendezvous. We're all together now, like looking each other in the eyes. And actually, I'm going to mark the first box on Big Exit, too, because there is so much chaos going on right now.
We could just make a run for it and no one would notice. Like, we could just...
Exactly. So I added two other items to our escape track there. So we have Big Exit is the second one. Three Doors is the third one. And Escape is the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me like either Ashkali or Venquista, actually maybe the two of you together, are probably like the masterminds of all of this. So
probably
what's the exit from this room that we take?
Okay. I mean, actually I would probably ask Illouf, right? Because you were the one that had the map and the blueprints and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would probably ask to double check with you about that. So it'd be like, you know, okay, so from here, where is the best exit to take? Because from, you know, like I'm happy to deal with all the hacking and the information systems and getting us past security, but you know the actual physical route and the layout of this place, right?
And kind of an idea I had as well would be if there is more of a maintenance type entrance and exit as opposed to a main walkway, because if it was a main walkway, people might be coming to help in the main walkway, but a maintenance area like behind the tennis ball area could be a better way with less eyes and less fighty eyes.
That's exactly what I was going to go with. So, you know, he saunters over because he's just not like, he's finding it hard to be motivated right now until things like start happening. Because he's kind of pessimistic.
I know, shit's hit the fan now, though.
Yeah, he still did all the research and everything, but he's like, let's see if this even works. So since it's starting to, he's like, all right, let me come over here. And then, you know, you turn to him and you ask him, and he whips out and he goes to, so
page 5 here. If you look, we're right here in the corner, and there's 2 doors there. There's 1 door where the guards are. There's another door behind us. What we want to do is go out this door, make an immediate right, and there's a panel. It's not exactly visible, but I've mapped it out. I know where it is. We go there, and that turns into a maintenance shaft. So as long as we walk out there and there's no real issue, we could say that we're escaping the fire. We go into that maintenance shaft, and we're pretty much that gives us a nice cover to move around the place. And I know how to navigate from the maintenance shaft to get towards where we need to go after that. That's page 9.
Can we go?
Fuck yeah, buddy. Let's go.
Let's get out of here.
One thing. And Hull kneels down next to Illouf's ankle and pulls out a shiv.
Oh. Come on.
I'm using my good detail. Never met a dagger I didn't like. The difficulty, I think, to successfully cut off an ankle bracelet that is limiting the giant's access is a 3, which, boom, hit it.
Nice.
Oh.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
What are you?
Slice. And the magical restraint cuts away. There is a flare, and like I think my left hand gets burned. Even with the success, because there's some backlash from that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm kind of, like, a little bit hampered. And, like, I'm holding my hand under my arm now.
Yeah, you get, like, that like, little spark burn real quick. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But you got your giant.
Nice.
All right. So then all of a sudden he's like, oh, thank you. All right, Ari. Oh, that's so much better. All right. Hey, are you there? Hello?
I'm here.
All right, let's go.
Okay, cool.
Woo! We're going to fast forward this just a touch. Where does the maintenance shaft lead to?
It's going to lead to another room, and then past that room is going to be the loading bay where like deliveries come, any kind of like food, equipment, just that in and out. So that's where we want to go, so that way we can get out that way.
So is our plan to like hitch a ride on one of these delivery crates and then just get out of here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if there's a vehicle that's not being used, we can take that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Rewinding a little bit, looking at the time. So I think what I'm going to do, if everyone's cool with it, is we're going to put a pin in that, right? We're going to sort of pause the session there and go, okay, we've got this loading bay. I think the vehicles are a really cool idea. I'd love to just drive out of here.
I would love that.
Sick as hell.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think we have the time to get to the rest of that story on this night and in this session. So I like to do a little bit of debrief with everyone who's playing, because this is a playtesting thing. One, is everyone cool? Is there any other narrative thing that you all need to feel like whole and complete inside yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think that maybe very, very briefly we can discuss like what we would have done next, even if it doesn't actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, so we have this loading bay in front of us then, and we have all of these vehicles moving around. The automated systems aren't going, but there are like people moving manual controls and things like that. So what did you have in mind?
So first of all, there was the key that we discussed extensively in the opening, but also I did just want to highlight that the snake has an ability called Undercover, and it's once per session you can get your entire group undetected through a security system of difficulty 3 or lower, which was really, really cool. I was going to save that for like the last gate that we needed until we could get to freedom. I did just want everybody to know that was an ability that was super cool.
Very good.
Yeah.
Did anyone else have anything they really wanted to bring to bear from their characters that we didn't get a chance to?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I assume, like, Because I said there was going to be another room. There was going to be a secure room. That way we could play. We could use all the nice items that we've collected to get through that room, then out into the loading bay. Like, if it came to a point where either we stowed away on a vehicle or had to take, like, you know, commandeer one of our own, there is a, you know, once per session, I mean, a scene ability, glitch in a network. Once per scene, you can exploit a network resource of difficulty 3 or lower. So I was just going to essentially, since the thing was cut off and I have access to the bone bonded now to the giant, I was just going to, like, if we found a vehicle and we were going to take it and commandeer it, he was just going to grab, he was just going to put his hand on the console, hack it, and then we were out of there.
Nice.
Okay, because my brain is again choosing chaos for no reason, I had a moment that I can picture very, very, very clearly, which is needing to convince somebody that, like, yes, they have seen us, yes, that has happened, but here's the thing. If they let us go, I will tell them the meaning of life. Now, the meaning of life for this particular person is going to be love, and they are going to need to text the person that they were previously talking to about 5 minutes prior to that. Text them and tell them that you love them, and they will have untold riches in their future. This is a random and weird thing that will inevitably lead to probably a very odd misunderstanding for them. But in that misunderstanding, they will find a bit of joy, and isn't that what life is all about? Anyway, that's what,
okay.
That's what the violence my brain chose today. I love it. Lie to somebody, make them do something that is mildly embarrassing, but they will feel no shame and they will feel happiness afterwards. And then we'll also get away with doing whatever we were doing.
Fantastic.
I love it.
And one thing that I was considering would be wherever we exited from, especially if it was with a vehicle where there were other vehicles behind us, would be to use the rune blast to create a powerful rune on a surface to produce the appropriate effect. And I would want to do the Tindaz with Forge. So I would be making it unable to open whatever door that we went through so that it would be harder for them to follow us.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I love that.
Very good. I'm sorry that due to time we didn't get to actually see those things practice, but I really appreciate Sebastian's suggestion to outline them so people can hear what could have been. So as we're coming to the end of this, we're going to do another rundown. Y'all can say who you are, what you have going on, remind the people where they can find you and support what it is you have going. So you all know me. I don't need to really intro myself. It's my podcast. I'm at The Other Tracy on Twitter. Hey, how's it going? JV, what's up?
So hi all, I'm JV at Red Black Golden pretty much everywhere. I don't have a lot in terms of projects that I'm currently doing. Thankfully, I don't have a lot that I'm currently doing because life is stressful and I am straddling 4 jobs and trying to make that work in some seemingly meaningful way, and it's working out fantastically, but projects are taking a slight back burner. But should you like to follow the things that I do like to make, I post them on Red Black Golden on Twitter and also on Instagram fairly frequently, and there are some, you know, 'tis the season of... The time period that this is being made is is such that a lot of creative sort of textile-related things are being done, and...
It's Halloween. They mean Halloween.
Yes, I have made several costumes, and they're very fun. Please look at them. Thank you. That is all. Hell yes. That's it. Thanks.
Sebastian?
Yep, I am Sebastian Yue. They, them pronouns. I'm a game designer, writer, editor, and performer. I'm on Twitter at Sebastian UA, spelled like just Sebastian and then Y-U-E, all one word. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Melissa?
And I am Melissa at So Much Geek, S-E-W Much Geek on Instagram and Twitter and also Twitch. I currently am playing a plant cleric in The Mind and the Martyr on Friends Who Roll Dice channel on Twitch. This is on Monday nights. And I also stream on my own Twitch channel whenever I find the energy to will myself into existence. And I also make things from time to time, which is what the so comes from in my name. Hopefully at some point I will have another costume. I'm hoping Catwoman will be my next one. So we'll see what happens. I hope it turns out great, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. And DJ, carry us out.
Hello, everyone. Again, Big B's here. Voice actor, TTRPG. Finally, now officially writer. I just finished writing a Pokemon one-shot using the Aether and Steamworks system, which is amazing. You can catch me on Twitter at BigB's _. You can catch me on Twitch on either my channel, Big_B's, where I play a variety of games, mainly horror games, because people love to see me terrified and screaming. Also, you can catch me Mondays and Saturdays on RF Chaos, and Saturdays is a Masks game, The Unremarkables, where I play Ethan Edwards, also known as Seismic, and I am just the most anxious of beings. And more details on my Twitter when I finish all the crossing the T's and dotting the I's and finishing all the mechanics for the one-shot, I will start spamming out invites to everybody so we can play. Other than that, I love all your faces, and I'm so pumped to be a part of this. And this was, I thought this was going to be a 10, but it hit a 20. And I'm like, yeah, yes. Woo! So I'm pumped.
You'd love to hear it.
Iron Edder Reforged is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network in conjunction with the Other Dev Productions. Written and designed by Tracy Barnett. Performed by Alex Flanagan, B. Zelda, and Jeff Stormer. Edited by Jupiter Aquas.
Oh my goodness. Melissa, Sebastian, JV, and Bees, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules to record this set of episodes with me. I really, really, really appreciate it, and I had such a good time doing this. It was really great. Like I said in the previous episode, we got to showcase what the system can do, explore a new story that is going to tie directly into the main story. It was just a delight. I'm just thrilled all around. Next week, we are going back to the main story of Iron Edder Reforged, and we have some amazing stuff in store for you. The main cast got to record a 4-hour session that is going to get broken up into episodes, so we got a lot of ground covered. I'm really excited for you to listen to it, so stick around, stay tuned next week. It's going to be great. If you enjoyed this show, you should check out more shows on the One Shot Podcast Network. Shows like System Mastery. System Mastery is a delightful stroll through the history of role-playing games, except the games are terrible and the hosts are real jerks about everything. Join hosts Jeff and John as they explore the weirdest games ever made to talk about what worked, what went wrong, and which Silverhawk was the best. It was Hot Wing, don't even at them. Find their shows at SystemMasteryPodcast.com.